Morning. The reading today is from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 13. The Apostle Paul is ending his letter to the church in Philippi by giving them some important reminders on how to live a Christ-like life. Hear the word of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me?
Lord of our many blessings, to who we raise our praise, open our ears to hear your word and open our hearts to welcome the peace and hope that you offer. Amen. So it's Thanksgiving week. That kind of came and snuck up on us, didn't it? And there must not be a better time of the year to talk about being thankful and grateful and blessed. I don't know if you know this about me, but I love preaching, and I don't mean just to my husband. I especially love to preach on the topics of love and praising God and giving thanks and serving. It's my jam, if you will. I've preached several sermons on Thanksgiving week before, and I look back at what I had presented in the past and what I had shared then, and darn it, it just didn't seem appropriate today. You see, I've been struggling a little to write this sermon. God has been tugging on my heart and my mind, at calling me to preach something different than that all joy and cheer message we probably all want to hear. You know, those feel-good messages of God is good, be happy, count your blessings and everything will be okay, and yay, Christmas is near. Is that where you all are today? Have you been feeling all joy and cheer this week or this month or this year? Our current cultural and world climate is not so much about rejoicing and giving thanks right now, is it? Wars, natural disasters, division, hatred, crime, mental health crises, lots of viruses, and another round of COVID, climate concerns, staffing shortages, inflation. A cheery message after that list feels a little out of touch with reality. Paul wrote in our scripture reading today a slew of fairly well-known and often memorized Bible verses, all crammed up into 10 little verses. And at the time Paul was writing this letter to the church he started and helped start in Philippi, he is in chains and in prison in Rome. He's been traveling a lot over most of the Middle East, started churches in numerous cities, preached and taught to thousands, has been beaten, left for dead, and now is facing legal trials for the work that he is doing for Christ, which will eventually lead to his death. And what does he say? I have learned the secret to be content in every and all circumstance. Wow. What is your typical response to hardship and crises in life? When I run into just a week or two, when my health fails me and I feel like I'm failing others, I know I'm not writing or saying or even thinking all the wonderful things that Paul shared with us today. Instead, I feel frustrated and I'm embarrassed and I'm exhausted and overwhelmed and probably in a bit of pain. Rejoicing and giving thanks to God, unfortunately, are not my usual responses. With all that is going on in the world and the struggles that we all personally face, it's a challenge to just stay positive, say anything about give thanks to God for all of our circumstances, and rejoicing and celebrating God in everything. Always and everything feels like a lot. But does God really expect us to rejoice in all circumstances? And how do we do that when life feels like it's falling apart? We can count our blessings and be grateful, but that doesn't change our circumstance or make our pain go away. Neither Paul in this letter, nor Jesus in his teachings, ever said, "Don't worry, just be happy." Jesus didn't even promise us a worry-free life, and instead said things like, "In this life, you will encounter many troubles." And the Bible also tells us that our Savior weeps when we weep, hurts when we hurt, and sees and knows our troubles. So what is Paul really talking about? Let's take a look at the scriptures once again. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, pure, lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. The God of peace will be with you. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, and I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, and I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Did you notice that Paul didn't say, always be happy? Or you must be happy about every circumstance you're in? He's saying be content and give thanks to God in everything. You know, we Christians can sometimes put too much stress upon ourselves and on others, feeling like we always must be upbeat and positive, or we feel weak, or at least feel like our faith may be weak. We say things like, oh, it must be God's will, or everything happens for a reason, or just remember all the good times you had, as a well-intentioned way to comfort and encourage others during hard times. But these things can also cause damage if they make people feel that if their faith was just a bit stronger, they wouldn't feel grief or sadness or anger at all. But friends, our feelings aren't a reflection of the depth of our faith. God has made us to feel a wide range of emotions. In the book, When Holidays Hurt, Finding Hidden Hope Among Pain and Loss, author Bo Stearns writes, "We tend to expect gratitude to act as if it were some emotional acid, absorbing all the sorrow on contact. But let's be clear. Sorrow is not a sin, and gratitude does not cancel out our grief. We all need permission to experience sorrow and joy, anger and peace, grief and hope. And when we stop viewing negative emotions and gratitude as being mutually exclusive, we are well on our way to a healthier holiday." We must give ourselves permission to acknowledge that life is hard, unfair, and unkind at times, and that we will all face scary situations in our lives that can feel impossible to get through. I think Paul is saying that we can give thanks to and praise God not because of our circumstances, but despite them. We can give thanks to God because of who God is and what he has done for us. We praise God, praise his characteristics and the promises that he has made us. We can find joy and hope in the hope that he gives us for a brighter and eternal future. We can find peace knowing God is in control of everything and has conquered even death. We can feel content as we can recall all of the good and precious gifts God has already given us. We rejoice because of the people God has brought into our lives to help us through the tough times. We recognize and find comfort in the fact that Jesus Christ is our provider, our strength, and our salvation. I know, it all sounds wonderful, but it's so hard to remember all that stuff when we are in the heat of the battle with our emotions and our lives. This is something I am not good at. My emotions get the best of me, and I react instead of thoughtfully respond. And unfortunately, some of you have suffered from my blow of emotions, and for that, I ask for your forgiveness. Clearly, I don't have it all figured out in my life yet, but I think that's okay. We are all works in progress. I'm not done learning and growing in my faith, and God is definitely not finished with me yet, or maybe any of us. And that's why belonging to a church is so important. We can't, nor are we meant to, do this on our own. We need a community of believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be with us. We are a faith family. And we are called to hold each other up, gently remind each other of where our focus should be, and help each other return to the loving arms of Jesus through prayer and reading his word. We remember by using our faith family to help mentor us into a deeper relationship with Christ. And our faith matures as we develop connected relationships, ignited hearts, and transformed lives. But what about those people in the world and even in our own community who don't know God or have a community of faith to lean on? Imagine how much harder it is for them to find joy and hope or gratitude in times of trouble. Who do they turn to when they don't know God is there to help? We are called to be that voice in the wilderness for them, to come alongside our community members and offer help. We are to share the good news of Jesus and help them access the hope and peace and love a relationship with Christ can bring. So what will each of us and we as a church do this week or month or year to share that message with the hurting world? What can we do this month to invite or host or share in people's lives in pain? One thing might be to consider inviting those you know are hurting to join you in worship, or to one of the many upcoming opportunities we talked about in the announcements today. Let's find the courage to share with others what things we have found to help us in time of crises, like prayer, or having a faith family to belong to, or focusing on being grateful. So where does that leave us today? We're still in the same world we started our message in today, and more than likely, your situations haven't changed in the last few moments. Let's look at a summary of the scriptures from today, along with a bit of color commentary from me, and see if it can help. Rejoice in the Lord, for he is God, and he is near. Show the world your faith makes a difference in your life by letting your gentleness be known. Talk to God. Go to him in prayer and give him thanks, not for your pain, but for who he is the promises of hope and eternal life that he gives us, and the many blessings he has given you. Our thoughts drive our emotions, and our emotions impact our behaviors, and behaviors become habits, and our habits shape our character. So learn to control your thoughts. Easier said than done. But look for things around you that are good and pure and noble and lovely and right, and focus your thoughts there. For God has said it will bring us peace. Be grateful for what you have and blossom where you're planted. Instead of always wishing things were different, circumstances will probably eventually change, and God does have a plan for your life. Learn from the faith of others and model for others what a difference living a life in Christ can make. Lean on your brothers and sisters in Christ to help you. And remember, you can do anything with the strength and help of God. So feel all the feels that you feel when you hear disturbing stories on the news. Be angry, get frustrated, or feel sad when life brings you trouble. And please be sure to grieve your losses. These feelings are natural and a part of how God made us, and they are never a reflection of the condition or strength of your faith. We can rejoice in God in everything because our praise and thanks are not bound by our emotions or our circumstances, but are because of who God is and the wonderful things he has done. So even when we're down, let us sing God's praises, thank him for his creation and blessings, and rejoice in being able to do this in everything. Amen and amen.